Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of 24/7 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com or call 662-446-1048. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Riggins.
That would be a little weird. Yeah. Texas forever.
That was the first thing I thought of, too. It's really the first thing I thought of.
And Lone Star Light.
Yeah.
Not coffee, but Lone Star Light.
Right. I was also thinking of Minka Kelly, but that's just the other thing entirely.
As you should.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Don't forget, when you support Strange Brew Coffeehouse, you support the Bulldog Initiative with every purchase. And this holiday season, if you've got a coffee lover in your house, they would love a gift from strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing over in Ridgeland. Guys, if you are running a business, you already spend money on printing. I mean, I know you do. Printing is the lifeblood of any business's marketing plans. That's how you get your mailers out. That's how you get people to notice your products, your signage, things of that nature. So if you're already spending that money and you're a Mississippi State fan, and if you're listening to this podcast, I have to assume for the most part that you are, well, then why not spend money on printing and help the Bulldog Initiative at the same time? That's what you can do with Pip Printing. When you talk to my buddy Camden Baker over there, he's going to take care of you, and he's going to donate 10% of whatever your sale is back to the Bulldog Initiative. So let's think about it like this. Let's just do the math real quick. If we can come up with, you know, between 10 business owners who listen to this podcast that spend $1,000 with Pip Printing, then that's $1,000 a month to the Bulldog Initiative. That's $12,000 a year to the Bulldog Initiative. And that's just on 10 businesses. What if we got 20? What if we got 30? I mean, it's going to add up, guys. So talk to Camden Baker today and find out how his business can serve your business. His number is 601-499-5216. And when I say his number, that is his number. That is not his business's number. That's his own. He didn't even give me. I don't have the phone number for Pip Printing. I could look it up, I'm sure, but I don't have it here on this. I have this sheet with all my notes on it here. I have Camden's number. I don't know Pip Printing's number. So that man gave you his phone number. That's how dedicated to making sure your experience with his company is right. Pip Printing, pipridgeland.com is the website. Give them a call today. Support the Bulldog Initiative and get great marketing for your business. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. The holidays are, I mean, just bearing down on us at this point. We're a week away from Christmas. If you haven't made that last-minute purchase yet, now's the time. Head over to College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com, and get the maroon and white gear under the tree that you want this holiday season. Well, they were really happy to see us at Restaurant Tyler the other night. They couldn't have been more thrilled that Robbie Falk and I were in there enjoying a fine meal. And let me tell you, that was a fine meal that we had. And I'm not even talking about it because Robbie had to pick up the tab. That was just good eating. That they had this surf and turf special, pork chop with a herb cheese fondue on top of it, with sausage and shrimp. Oh man, that was as good a pork chop as I can remember eating in a long, long time. And I would go back and eat it again, and I'd pay for it myself. That's how good it was. So if you don't have a good friend like Robbie Falk to pay off a bet, it doesn't matter. Just go to Restaurant Tyler anyway and eat dinner there. They've always got great specials like that. I did feel like I missed out on dessert. We had the stuffed pancakes. Those were delicious, but they were offering a peppermint bread pudding, and I was just like, that sounds pretty darn good. Very, very festive, very holiday season-y. But maybe next time, and there will be a next time soon at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find the location nearest you. When you want to bank with your community, Priority One Bank makes it easy because they've got locations all across the state in Central Mississippi. A small town feel, a small community bank feel, but big financial flexibility and the ability to take your finances to the next level. Find out what Priority One can do with you for you. Give them a call. Check out the website, PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Should I play if I had to play the song for every commitment this weekend, we would be here for the next 20 minutes. So let's just play it once.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
A lot of commitments, Robbie. A lot of commitments.
A lot.
Probably more than I was expecting. Where should we start first? Were there any high school commitments this weekend? Were there any high?
Yeah.
I guess Ty McClendon.
Ty McClendon. Yeah.
Okay. Is he the only one for this weekend? Let me see if there's a way to. Crack.
Oh, good. 247 gave him the Mississippi State 85.
There it is. Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Well, it is. It is what it is. There. So is he on this? Yeah. Here he is. Now, which one is this then? Hold on. So he is a 85, you said, for 24/7?
Yes.
All right, he got an 87 on On3, that On3 website. They gave him an 87. So Ty McClendon, who, you know, if you go back, I think, to Friday's show, we talked about him. We're like, who is this guy? I don't know anything about him. Went down to the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game and had a pretty good game. Really did a good job of showing out. Then comes up here on an official visit, gets the offer, immediately commits. Is he like this year's Jonathan Davis, kind of, without the drama?
Yeah, very similar, but there was no, like, in-state battle for him.
Right.
To me, he's his game and just kind of how things went, he's Cam Young.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember back at that recruitment with Cam Young back in the – I think it was the 2018 –
2018, 2019, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. He was at 86.
Mm-hmm.
He got one spot higher than Ty McClendon. Multi-year starter, NFL draft pick. If you can get the same production out of Ty McClendon as you did as Cam Young, I think you're doing pretty good.
You're doing really, really good. So
I like it. You know, a lot of people understand we're, you know, not thrilled with it just because – you're trying to get difference makers for next year, and I get it. I think there's a place for both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that now that you have the transfer portal that you don't recruit guys that are quote unquote projects or long term development guys. I think mm-hmm. there's still a place for that.
Right.
And Ty McClendon is that. I don't expect him to come in here right away. It's going to be a lot like Jonathan Davis. He's going to need a year. Cam Young was the same way. He's going to need some time to develop. And eventually you have, I think, a true nose tackle right there in him. And listen, you have basically three straight guys like that with Calvin Dinkins and then Jonathan Davis and Ky McClendon. All, you know, Mississippi products that were very late bloomers. Ky McClendon, I think, was playing offensive line. They moved him to defense. He was wrecking things on Saturday. He didn't have big numbers, but he was obviously his presence was felt. And I think a lot of the stuff you saw from the edge guys like Kamarion Franklin and guys like that were freed up by what he was doing inside. He's going to be a space eater kind of guy, a lot like Cam Young. That's going to free up a lot of the stuff on the outsides. I like this pickup personally. And I'm not high on Mississippi State's efforts on the defensive line right now. Mm-hmm. But I do think Kai McClendon is a very interesting player that Mississippi State could do something with, especially under David Turner, who's been really good about developing guys like that.
Yeah. So we'll see how that one pans out for Mississippi State. Then we go to the transfer portal. And a lot of action there this weekend for State. Four commitments on this Sunday. And some more expected as well. I'm sorry. And then one from Saturday night. He's not. Hold on a second, Robbie. I need to find out why this is. So I'm looking at this On3 website again. McKylen Pounder's not on there. Did I miss something?
Maybe. I mean, Paul was kind of busy today, so
that's
maybe
no
he didn't
excuse.
Update.
All right. Well, let's start with McKylen.
No, that's Pounder. You're hyping up On3 like this is great.
Pretty obvious that Paul needs to get another guy over there, help him out or something. Got to figure something out there because that's not gonna fly. Now hiring, huh, Paul? McKylen Pounders, just for the symmetry of it, just for the storyline, I love it, right? This is a guy that was committed to Mississippi State a couple years ago. He gets the Ole Miss offer, or they try to set it up where he's going to flip. State's able to. So if you recall that year, Ole Miss had three players that they pulled this with: Brandon Burkhalter, McKylen Pounders, and MJ Daniels.
They basically got
wind of the first two. They got wind on Pounders and Burkhalter, pulled their offers. And as a result, they signed Ra-Ra Thomas, who, even though he only played 2 years at State, he did a lot more for Mississippi State than Burkhalter has done at Ole Miss. Instead of Pounders, I think they got Cannon Boone, who hasn't really done anything at State, but was a more highly rated prospect, if nothing else.
Well, he was in the two deep this year.
He's in the two deep. I'm just saying he hasn't made a huge impact yet. We'll see what happens this year.
Burkhalter ended up having a transfer. He didn't do anything. Out.
And then MJ Daniels, that happened on signing day, and that's the one that they got. They were able to get the sucker punch on that one.
Another transfer.
But Pounders, as you recall, flips to Ole Miss, and then on signing day isn't sent an offer, an NIL, an NLI, I should say. And ends up having to take a Memphis offer. Mississippi State, rightly, in my opinion, at that time, decided not to take him back. They felt he had tried to play games with them, and Leach made the decision, no, we're not going to do that. But everything comes full circle sometimes in this life. And now Pounders, after two incredibly good years, he was very productive at Memphis as a starting offensive lineman, has committed to Mississippi State. Again, the storyline I like, but the fact that he is a really good offensive tackle, you have to like even more.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you've picked up a guy that wants to be here first and foremost, because you're talking about a guy that when all that stuff went down, he was basically used as a pawn by Lane Kiffin and the staff to get at Mississippi State, and they end up dropping the kid. And I think after that, he kind of realized he was used for that. And since then, I mean, I think there's some animosity there towards Ole Miss, and this kid
should fit in just fine then, Robbie.
He is thrilled to be here. Mm-hmm. Like I told you earlier, he sent me a message today. I haven't talked to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a message out of the blue and told me he wanted to come on Thunder and Lightning.
We need to make that happen.
Like I'm not kidding. I literally have the DM. He's randomly sent me a message that he wanted to come on Thunder and Lightning, and he said he is blanking, fired up to be back.
Love it. Love to hear it. We're going to tell him, like, you can come on, but we're going to ask some questions. Got some questions for you. So we'll see if he's willing to answer them.
Yeah, but I think, you know, just as far as, you know, what he brings to the table, he gave up, like, one or two sacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that's in the AAC or whatever, but only giving up a sack or two is, you know, that's good on any level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a player that it was kind of under the radar a little bit on what his options were,
right.
But he had options from around the country. Mm-hmm. Auburn wanted him badly. You beat out Auburn for him. Ole Miss recruited him. Texas A&M, I think, recruited him.
He was in on him too.
I think so. So this was a kid that you legitimately beat out some really good teams for. This might be State's best pickup to this point. And I get it. That's not saying a lot, but I think it's a really good pickup. And I think he's much better than the 87 tag that we threw on him at 247.
Yeah, I agree with that. Then on Sunday, like I said, a flurry of activity, shall we say. The Ball brothers, Cameron and Justin, both tight ends, one from Vanderbilt, one from Buffalo, both commit to Mississippi State. Memphis cornerback Travion Wright commits to Mississippi State. And Purdue defensive lineman Suleiman Kapaka commits to Mississippi State. Kapaka is very interesting to me, Robbie, because State actually hosted a different Purdue defensive lineman this weekend, and he seems to have not committed, but this guy has.
They did?
Isn't that correct? That's not the guy that they had on campus, right?
No, he was on campus.
But there was another Purdue offensive or defensive lineman. I don't recall this guy being mentioned. Let me see if I can find.
Hold on, Robbie. I think you're mistaken, sir.
Was this the? I remember looking this guy up, and he didn't. This was a.
Are you thinking about the guy from Canada?
Maybe. I may be. Let me see.
I think you're thinking of the guy from Canada that was supposed to be visiting, but I don't know if he actually came.
Speed Mabuma?
Yeah.
I could be mispronouncing that too. Okay. All right, then. Suleiman Kapaka. This is let's just be honest with this guy. He didn't play much at Purdue. He's a depth piece for Mississippi State. Something we have to consider at this point is that State just needs players. They got to fill out their two deep some way. And right now you have no experience on that defensive line. Like right now your starting defensive line is, DeMonte Russell is still there for you. But Trevion Williams, Calvin Dinkins, Jonathan Davis, these are guys who have not played a lot of reps, if any. And so you need some guys who have at least played some college football, and Kapaka gives you that.
I just don't understand why State hasn't been able to get traction with defensive linemen.
I agree.
You can sell the playing time, but also you can sell NFL pedigree, the coaching that you have on the defensive line. It's one thing if it's like, the safeties or the corners with guys that, haven't proven a lot in the SEC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
David Turner has been at Texas A&M, Kentucky, Florida, Mississippi State. He's been all over the SEC, and he's produced some big names. Why are they not being able to gain traction with legit SEC defensive linemen? And I don't want to diminish this kid.
Mm-hmm.
I say he's a kid. I mean, he's probably like 22.
Yeah, he's old enough. He's old enough to vote. It's old enough.
But 30 career tackles, and 2.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
He is a depth piece for sure. But where are the difference makers?
Right. And then you see, we're gonna go into in depth a little bit this week talking about. We're going to have to talk about Ole Miss at some point. And we're going to have to talk about what's going on up there and how it's going to affect Mississippi State. But, Mississippi State puts out
– And they're getting traction with a ton of defensive linemen. They have three legit defensive linemen.
State has puts out all these graphics about DLU and the contracts that Simmons and Jones and Cox and Sweat have signed, all $100 million deals. And yet, can they get a visit from a guy like Walter Nolan? No. And that's very frustrating if you're Mississippi State. That, like you said, State's defensive portal recruiting, the offensive portal recruiting has been fine. You've gotten a couple of good offensive linemen. You look like you're on track to pick up a big time receiver next week. He hasn't made that a commitment official, but I'm gonna wait till he commits. Try to pronounce that last name. But the kid from UTEP,
Akari, I think is his last name.
There's another syllable in there, man. I know that there is.
I think it is Akari.
You know what? When he commits to Mississippi State, I'll commit to learning how to pronounce his name. That's how we're going to do things with some of these names. I'm pushing my intelligence today trying to pronounce Suleiman Kapaka. I don't know that I'm getting that right either, to be honest with you. So
yeah, we just need to wait on Mississippi State to put out a pronunciation guide there.
But anyway, like I said, they seem to be getting some impact. And Chapin, say what you want. I mean, this is a quarterback who's put up, you know, decent numbers over at Baylor. But State defensively, they had, I mean, the kid from Memphis redshirted last year. He hasn't played.
And people get so upset, like, for pointing out that things are not going well right now there. But how can you possibly defend that?
Right.
Right now you have a cornerback and Trey Wright who didn't play last year at Memphis. You're expecting him to come in and start right away and do some big things at corner? I mean, what track record do we have to believe that?
Mm-hmm.
You have a backup, two backup defensive linemen that have been in college for a while, and they're, you know, still were never able to, you know, really crack into there. And then, you know, they whiffed on the kid from Ohio State, mm-hmm. lost that battle to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's just not good right now. And I don't know if it's...
Have we gotten the confirmation on the cornerback from Michigan State? Did he commit to Boston College?
I don't know if he committed, but I don't think he came this weekend.
Right. And so...
Like, you're losing battles to Cincinnati and Boston College? Like, mm-hmm. that... Like, how is anybody defending that? The defensive side has been...
It's been rough.
Not good.
And the other side of that is, you know, it feels like everybody talks out of both sides of their mouth. It's like, if you want to tell me that, you know, kids want to play for winning programs... And, you know, guys only have a year left. They don't want to come into a rebuild. I can completely understand that, right? I got no problem buying into that. But then explain to me why a kid would go to Cincinnati or Boston College. Those are not good programs. So, you know, it has to be one way or the other. The way to look at it is there's still a long way to go in the portal, right? We still have a few more weeks before that thing closes up. Players, as bowl games start happening, players who will leave their teams from you got players who want to play in the bowl game, and they're not going to hit the portal until until after their game. You know, a guy like Malik Murphy is a little different because he saw what happened to Jaquarius Spivey last year, and it's like, I can't wait until the playoff and the national championship game possibly to transfer. I have to get in now so that I can keep my eligibility. I don't want to end up like Spivey did and be ineligible next year. Thanks, NCAA. So, for the most part, though, all the bowl teams that have players that are going to transfer, they're going to wait. They want to go to the bowl game. They want to get the swag bag. They want to have that bowl game experience. Totally acceptable. So there's still a long way to go with that. This is not high school where, you know, 5 days from today, 4 days from today, we're going to be talking about signing day. And you have to be locked in at that point. There's still plenty of time. But you're right. It is frustrating for an SEC team that has plenty of starting opportunities available, that is offensively coached by a guy that you can trust that he's going to be able to put points up on the board, has NIL, that they're not getting any kind of prospects in worth being excited about. So it is tough.
They definitely have a lot of work to do if they're not able to address a lot of these needs right now. The spring has got to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, a big one, which we've seen a lot of good players go in the spring in places and, you know, been difference makers. Yeah. So it's not over for Mississippi State there, but as it stands right now, I mean, if you look at it, if this is Mississippi State's defense next year, it's going to be bad. I'm just preparing people, because if this is the players that they're going to put on the field next year, and I just want people to be prepared. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to beat people 45-40, and you know
that's kind of something we've been calling for, right? We've been saying that.
Yes,
that needs to happen. We may get a taste of it, and the other side of it is what I mentioned is that you see Ole Miss, it seems like every day they're picking up not only a transfer, but a highly sought after transfer. And so we talk about perception all the time. The perception is, and it's not even, it isn't perception. This is not perception is reality. Reality is that Ole Miss is a hot program right now. Kids are wanting to go play there. They've got excitement. They've got the dominoes rolling in the right direction. And defensive guys are looking at that team. They're saying Judkins, Dart, all those receivers, now they've got Juice Wells. You know, there's a chance that they could be really, really good, and they should be really, really good next year. So I get it. It's not This isn't a State versus Ole Miss thing. This is just Ole Miss has been winning the last 3 years. Their coaching staff has stayed intact for the most part. They've been able to this is the culmination of all that. State is back at the beginning. I'm going to continue to say it until we get to the season, and hopefully it'll sink in. It's going to be a rebuild. A rebuild doesn't mean it's 1992 all over again, and it's going to take, well, he's got to get in there, and by the time his players are seniors, they should be good. It's not a 4 or 5 year process anymore. But year one is going to have its ups and downs. It's going to have some bumpy spots. It's going to have some moments of looking around going, gosh, this is not, you know, this is not good. They're not good right now. You hope that they continue to improve throughout the year. You hope that they're better offensively from day one. And then, you know, you take stock at the end of the season and you hope that you've shown enough that next year some bigger prospects want to get on board. But it's going to be a process for Mississippi State. And so and if nothing else, I think you should be encouraged by the fact that State's high school recruiting seems like it's in a pretty good spot right now. It feels like their State has a lot of momentum with Daniel Hill. But you know, it's just one of those things that if Alabama on signing day says, no, we got a spot, you know, they're going to take him. And that's going to go to Alabama. So you're going to have to wait until he signs. And the problem with that is, obviously, is that he's not signing or committing or anything until January 3rd at the Under Armour All-American game. Now, he might sign on December 6th or on December 20th and keep that quiet, but I don't know. So we're just going to have to wait and see on that one. But it feels like Stonka Burnside's going to come back in, and you're going to get a couple of more guys here and there as far as that goes. And you're going to be fine on the high school side of things. You're going to end up with probably close to a top 25 class. But on the transfer portal side of things, for right now, it's going to be tough. Now, we'll see, like I said, as guys continue to jump in the portal, what happens. But right now, it's totally okay to admit that things aren't going Mississippi State's way in the transfer portal. It's fine. It's okay to say it. You can say it out loud. It's not going to hurt anything.
It's not being negative. It's not, you know, going out of your way. No, that's just how it is. It's just not good right now.
Yeah.
And they've added some really good pieces on offense. I think they've addressed some needs there. Offensive line right now is looking like a strength.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the offensive line could be one of the strengths of your team,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, a few weeks ago, we would say it has a chance to struggle a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that they've addressed some needs there. Wide receiver looks like it's going to be pretty good. It looks like running back could be really good. Defensive side of the ball is different, and it's okay to say that. And I can't tell you why they're struggling so bad. I don't know if it's the coaching, like they're just not on the right players, if the players don't believe in this coaching staff on defense right now, or what. It's really weird to me that David Turner, of all people, is not able to get traction with some big-time defensive linemen. That is strange to me, how that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that has to be done.
One last thing. You mentioned running backs there for a second. Dante Dowdle, the Oregon transfer, we talked a little bit about him last week. You talk about everything happening as we foreseen it, Robbie. It went exactly according to plan, right? He went to Oregon for a year, comes back to Mississippi. He's in Starkville this weekend. There's a lot of momentum that he will commit to Mississippi State. Daniel Hill, to me, is still a toss-up. I don't know if he's coming to Mississippi State or not, but we don't know that Seth Davis is going to how long he's going to be out. You know, Jeff Pittman, Kevon Lee are just, you know, they're okay players. They're not, neither one of them are true difference makers, in my opinion. You have Johnny Daniels, who people have, you know, talked about, but I mean, I see a guy who he has one SEC offer. You know, this Dante Dowdle is a guy that had offers from everybody in the SEC just a season ago. So I think it's a no-brainer. If Dowdle wants to come, you take him. And it feels like that's where it's trending for Mississippi State.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know why people would be against that. He's a guy that last year everybody wanted. I don't think things have changed that drastically for him as a player in 1 year. I mean, we were talking about this last year, that he was going to go to Oregon, and there was a very good shot that eventually he would end up in the portal and Mississippi State would be a destination, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, didn't get a ton of playing time, but he was – I mean, last year he was a true freshman, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, that I think he hasn't, you know, he's the same kind of player to me. I think that he's going to to be a good bruising back. I watched him play in high school, and he ran in a system in high school. But if you can run the football, you can run the football. Mm-hmm. And this kid is a physical presence. If you're not able to get a Daniel Hill, this kid is in that same ilk. Mm-hmm. He is a similar type athlete as a Daniel Hill. Now you get both of them, and you're really cooking back there with just big physical running backs that can run downhill, very good in the open field. I mean, this was a top 10 running back in the country last year. It looks like he had a great visit to state. So, I would take him in a heartbeat and figure it out later with your running back situation.
Agreed.
You're about to lose Kevon Lee and Jeffrey Pittman, mm-hmm. I guess, are graduating after next year. And then you're going to have a fairly young running back group. So prepare yourself for the future with these guys. Yeah. And he's been a year already in college. He should be ready to contribute.
Should be. And, in this style of offense, I think, a Dowdle-Seth Davis combo would be very interesting. And, Daniel Hill, if he can get in there too. You can't have enough good players, though. You can never have enough. Ole Miss has done this for years. Take them and figure it out when they get to campus. The kids want to play. So if you get to a situation where Dowdle and Seth Davis are going to be the running backs, you tell Daniel Hill, hey, we moved the linebacker. If he wants to be at Mississippi State and wants to play, he'll do it. Otherwise, if he's just stuck on being a running back, well, then he'll go. I mean, that's what the portal's for. So we'll see how it all pans out. I would expect more commitments in the next 2 to 3. Obviously, signing day is only 3 days away, so that this class will start to fill up. A guy like Dowdle obviously could wait. We'll have to wait and see. Before we get out of football, let's talk about the coaching staff real quick. I guess this is the final addition to this staff, which, there's some questions then, if we're being honest here. So, but it was announced, again, we talked about players waiting for bowl games to be over. So do coaches. And in this instance, the name is Cliff Odom. He was the defensive backs coach at New Mexico State. He is now the special teams coordinator here at Mississippi State. I have one question. We were waiting to find out who was going to be the outside linebackers coach here at Mississippi State. I'm sorry, the inside linebackers coach. I believe Coleman Hutzler, the graphic they put out for him said defensive coordinator, outside linebackers coach. Is that correct, mm-hmm. or am I wrong on that?
One of the two. It did say that he was going to be a positional coach, right. Either inside or outside. I can't remember exactly.
Here's the picture. Here, hold on. Inside.
But, yeah.
Inside linebackers. He coached outside linebackers at Alabama. He is coaching inside linebackers here. So we thought the next coaching hire was going to be outside linebackers. It's not. It's special teams. What am I missing?
I don't know. I mean, one of those guys is going to have to coach outside linebackers. I imagine it's going to be him.
Hutzler or Odom?
Odom.
Okay.
And what we had was Pete Thamel was the guy that broke that, and he just mentioned special teams coordinator and didn't mention that he would also be coaching outside linebackers, because he didn't say that Hutzler was going to be the inside linebackers coach when he mentioned that.
It feels
or whoever. Like, I think that's probably going to be who it is. What it feels like how they do it.
Special teams coach needs to just be the special teams coach to me, though. So I had convinced myself that State was going to kind of do what Moorhead did a little bit, which was just sort of have some grad assistants and quality control guys do special teams and then let the new coach come in and coach outside linebackers. But that's obviously not the case.
Didn't he – I thought he had Joey Jones.
He had him the first year, coach. But he had Chris Bonial, or was that with Mullen?
That was Mullen.
Mullen didn't have a special teams coach.
Mullen's special teams coach was like several guys.
Yeah. He just kept moving around. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Chris Bonial when he was here.
Yeah, he was kind of like the kicker's coach or whatever.
Yeah, so I thought that was the way
Cliff Odom has worked with special teams before. I mean, he's going to have the input of two special teams coaches on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And then he's obviously coached positions inside college football already as well.
Right.
I'm very skeptical of the defensive staff right now until we see more of them. And
fair,
you know, maybe, you know, maybe it's just the fact that a lot of them are kind of young and coaching different positions, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we shall see. With Lebby, it's like this. Lebby needs a game. He needs the season to get here, because like the off the field stuff. And when I say off the field, I'm not talking about, you know, criminal activity or anything. I'm just saying the coaching hires have all been kind of, you know, what? You know, there's been a lot of who when I've seen these names. And then you combine that with, you know, the way the portal stuff has been going, the way, you know, you felt like State was in a good position to get one of the top quarterbacks, and it looks like they're not going to do that. They're missing on a lot of defensive guys right now.
Yeah.
Lebby needs spring practice to get here. He needs to, you know, he needs to have a scrimmage where you can see that ball going up and down the field a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's move into basketball. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to them, that's our farmers here in this state who produce our great beef. That's how you're able to eat those great steaks each and every night. Robbie had a great steak on Friday night.
I did. It was delicious. It
looked really, really good.
And I had to really – I mean, I was full.
You were full?
The appetizers got me.
And then dessert showed up, and you were like, oh, no, wait, I got room for that.
Yes. I ate everything on my plate.
You're a good boy. Good man. Very
that's
good.
Right. I'm a growing boy. Well,
You're a big boy.
I'm a big boy, Mom.
There you go. Well, you should be feeding your family steaks like that. They will love you for it. This holiday season, give them a special meal on the big day. Cook a prime rib. Cook a beef tenderloin. Make something special for your family this Christmas holiday. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food you're looking for. I was at Two Brothers Friday night, not for food, but for some after-hours entertainment. It was quite fun. Met a couple of fans of ours there, Robbie, and it was very fun. And but that's another thing about Two Brothers is, you know, once the kitchen closes down, that still becomes a great place to hang out with your friends and enjoy a good time. But if I had my way, I'd rather be in there eating barbecue. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather be eating some smoked wings, some pork rind nachos, something like that. So maybe I'll do that this week. But I think we need to make that happen. Nothing else needs to be said. Two Brothers Smoked Meats is the home of smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. That's what Advantage Business Systems offers you. And I know every other business says they offer it to you, but who really does? Well, I can tell you, when you have 49 years of experience providing the best business technology and those kind of products to your customers, and then backing it up with the service that keeps you open for 49 years, well, then you got a pretty good recipe for success. If you need a new copy or a new printer, or new laptops, call Advantage Business Systems. And then if you need anything service-wise, you just call them back. You talk to the same people who made you the sale. No 1-800 numbers, no call centers, no out-of-state technicians. Just Mississippi people, which means a lot of times they can solve your problem the same day. Give them a call at 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. The Collegiate Collection at the Rogue, they've got your next polo or pullover right there waiting for you. Tremendous looking styles. I saw a guy today in a big old like maroon pullover with like gray that was like really bold on one side and it like faded out, and then like a banner rim that took up his whole gut. And I was just like, why? Why would anyone wear that?
My God.
I know. And I'm like, when you can just go to the Rogue and get a simple maroon polo, pullover, state script, interlocking, M over S, and wear that and just look better. That's just me, though. So if you don't want to look like that guy, you go talk to the good folks at The Rogue, and they'll take care of you. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. Good to go to Tupelo today in the Cadence Bank Center, or as it's referred to by our friend Stefan Krajnik, the bank, which that kind of surprised me. But
the bank.
Yeah, that's what he was calling it, the bank. So we'll go with that. Saw a lot. I thought a pretty good crowd there. In terms, I thought it was, you know, maybe 3,000-4,000 people there. So I thought that was a good crowd. I saw the friends of the
program. It did. It looked like a really good crowd.
I need to pass along a hello. The friends of the program wanted me to say hello to you.
The whole group?
I met with the whole group today. They will be in Starkville later next month. Perhaps we can see them there, but it was good to see the friends of the program.
I'll have to check my schedule.
Yeah. So it feels like there's a way, when you talk about Mississippi State basketball, right, you have to make a choice. Is it dominates the game from start to finish, starts slow but dominates the game in the second half, starts fast and has to hold on in the second half, or plays like crap and loses? Those are your four options. Today, State went with start slow and then dominate the second half. They were down as many as 11 points. It was 25-14 at one point. North Texas was leading Mississippi State. State went on a 35-11 run, led by as many as 20 in this game, and end up with a very comfortable victory over I would tell you was a surprisingly game North Texas Mean Green squad. It came in at 5-4. I didn't expect much of them. But final score, 72-54. So the margin of victory doesn't really give you an idea how close this game was early in the early going. State not good from behind the arc today, 5-21, and that's kind of spearheaded by Josh Hubbard, who was 3-10. So he's 3-10. That means the rest of the team was 2-11. Still not great, but Hubbard just couldn't get anything going. He still had 11 points, though. He found a way to make some buckets. Keyshawn Murphy was the big dog today, 18 points for him. In the first half, he was really the only spark State had offensively. He kept getting buckets. Cam Matthews nearly had a triple-double today, 9 points, 7 assists, 12 rebounds for him. DJ Jeffries with 13 points, 7 rebounds. He's starting to figure things out in terms of, I don't have to settle for threes. I can slash, I can get into the lane and get to the bucket and make shots there. So pretty good game from him. 7-5 from Jimmy Bell Jr. Shaq Moore with 6 points. Deshaun Davis with 4 points. The only Bulldogs in double figures, as I mentioned, Murphy with 18, Hubbard with 11, Jeffries with 13. State shoots 41% for the game, 68% from the line. I already mentioned the 3-point shooting. Here's the stat of the game, though, Robbie. State with only 3 turnovers in the game. That is an amazing number. They forced 16 turnovers. They got 22 points off of turnovers, as opposed to only 2 for the Mean Green. State with 15 assists on 25 made buckets. Only 4 assists for North Texas. They did a pretty good job of creating their own shots. As it was, State was able to out-rebound the Mean Green by 5. But that is an incredible number. Only 3 turnovers. Jans was almost like speechless when he saw that number. He's like, I've never seen that number that low for Mississippi State. I think Stefan did some research. He went back to 2005 and wasn't able to find a game with that few turnovers. So taking care of the ball. In a game where you're not shooting the ball well early, Robbie, taking care of it is paramount. So State at least did that. That allowed them to weather the storm. It was very similar to the Northwestern game. Came out ugly, didn't play well early on, but then just assumed control of the game and never looked back.
Yeah, that's kind of the game that I turned to when I was thinking about it. North Texas isn't a bad team. Mm-hmm. Last year, they won the NIT last season.
New coach.
And this year, right, this year they had 4 losses coming in. And they lost every game by 5 or less points. They lost to St. John's, who's been good this year. They lost to them by 1 point. They lost to another SEC team in LSU. Lost them by 4. They lost to Fordham by 1 point. And they lost to Boise State by 5. So their record wasn't really indicative of how competitive they've been. And it's still, you know, North Texas, but I think what was really key for Mississippi State is they got that 10-point win for their net. They won by 18. You win by double digits. It's a little extra to your net. And it's technically a road game because it's away from the hump. So probably going to be, a quad 2 or probably so?
Should end up around that, yeah.
You found a way to win the ball game, but it's the way that they did it that I thought was impressive. They came out, they were really cold early, got down by 10 points, and you're thinking, is this going to be another, you know, bad loss? And they just found ways. I thought what they did was they utilized what they do on the defensive side of the ball to kind of springboard them a little bit. In a day that wasn't their best day, offensively. They found their ways. He got out in transition. T.J. Jeffries, for all the grief that he's been given over the last couple of years offensively, every single game he has the highest plus percentage of anybody, I think, on the team. When he's in the ball game, good things are happening for Mississippi State. Defensively, he's becoming more aggressive on the offensive end and getting to the rim and scoring and not settling for three-point shots, things like that. He's become a more well-rounded player this year. Cam Matthews is just fantastic. He's just a jack of all trades. He blocked a shot today around the rim, took off, and delivered a great pass to DJ for a dunk, I think.
Sean Jones for the dunk, yeah.
Sean Jones, okay. Couldn't remember. So, I mean, to me, this has been great for Mississippi State to have guys figure it out without Tolu Smith.
Yeah.
Because you're about to get Tolu back, and you're going to have a much more comfortable team. If Tolu gets in foul trouble or whatever, you're going to have a team that knows what to do. They're not going to panic without their all-SEC guy out there. And this team's found ways to win. They found ways to lose a couple games too. But I really like the makeup of this team, the grittiness. It's hardly ever going to be super pretty, but they just find ways.
Yeah. They are a interesting team to watch. I wouldn't say they're fun because they have those moments where they're just like, what's going on out there?
Yeah.
But when they do put it together, they are quite good. And when Tolu comes back in, you can feel like this team, assuming they're able to figure out everybody's roles once they add Tolu back to everything, that they should be just fine. Now 9-2, three-game winning streak. They don't play again until next Saturday against Rutgers in the Gotham Classic. That game is in New Jersey, so you know that means we get to make Sopranos memes.
Like Christmas Eve?
No, it's
no. Christmas Eve is
23rd. It's 23rd.
Day before Christmas Eve, there's a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's bad. There's Premier League soccer on Christmas Eve. They're making the English do it. Can you believe that?
Communist.
I know, right? So, so MSU now 9-2 on the season. Good win for the Bulldogs over North Texas. Real quick, before we go. Mm-hmm. You think Willie Fritz was in the interview with Zach Selman and like, and I think I might keep Kevin Barbe. And then that was
wild.
And Selman said, we're good. Never mind. I can't believe Barbe. I mean, I should never be surprised because once you're a coach somewhere, it's like you're never going to be unemployed. But
yeah,
I can't believe he's an offensive coordinator again. I bet I'm not going to be surprised when they're good.
That's a decent program too. Like that's not a major step. I mean, it's obviously a step down from Mississippi State, but not a monumental step down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he obviously didn't fall forward, but he didn't, he didn't get punished.
Right.
Yeah. I could totally see them being good.
Yeah. I'm not going to be surprised by it when it happens. So, we'll see.
It feels like it only happens at Mississippi State, like no matter who the offensive coordinator is.
I know. So, all right. On tomorrow's show, we're going to have to talk about some for our friends up north. We're going to try to. I want to go into what this football season's this next year, 2024, is going to kind of be like, and how we have to shape the mindset of Mississippi State a little bit. So it's going to be sort of a big picture show on tomorrow's show. I would suspect there'll be more recruiting news to talk about on tomorrow's show as well, as we continue to get closer to National Signing Day. Guys, have a great Monday. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.